Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for November the 6th in the year of our Lord, 2021. This is hour one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, ladies and gentlemen, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America is indeed our guide. The checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers, one of the great peaceful restorative solutions we have at our fingertips. And as you know, we reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live. Wow, we're live 6 days a week. On the seventh, we take a break and rest as the good Lord asks us to. Let's talk about yesterday's recap really quick. Yesterday we had on Chris Carlson for the first hour. Without God, we can never win. With God, we can never lose. The battle for freedom is the Lord's, but we need to be engaged in the fight, says Chris Carlson. Amen to that. We had a discussion of all things liberty, ladies and gentlemen. We talked about Olivia Dawn sharing her personal experience. She tells the tale of January 6th in Washington, D.C., and she says, that is not the voice you want to listen to. As she highlighted the reality that, you know what, there were a lot of good people there. And she felt the good people and their agenda and their desire to make things better in America. And then she felt when certain people spoke, certain things happened, the tide turned. And she got a feeling in her gut and she got a prompting in her mind, that is not the voice you want to listen to. In other words, she firsthand witnessed documents, provocateurs in the crowd, ladies and gentlemen. And that really dovetails with Joel Skousen's incredible 19-page dissertation on the still small voice of conscience, joelskousen.com. I've got it in the show notes if you want to get that dissertation. It's in a PDF, but it's 19 pages on the still small voice of conscience. And Joel says we have a sixth sense that we have been gifted by Almighty God to help us through the vicissitudes of life. In other words, all the challenges and difficulties and confusions that we've got a sixth sense, and you got to hone it, you got to develop it, you got to work on it, you got to listen to it, you got to pay attention to it, you got to nurture it and nurse it, or you'll lose it, or you'll become oblivious to it. One of the realities is sometimes you'll get an interruption of the train of thought. Sometimes you'll get reminders. Sometimes you get promptings. Sometimes you get nervous feelings. All those things can help you learn to ferret out what the small voice is telling you. And a really, really great conversation between me and Chris Carlson about this yesterday, about learning to listen to the Holy Ghost, about learning to pay attention. The Lord can protect you. The Lord can guide you. The Lord can prevent you from making mistakes. And every one of us has this still small voice from God that can guide us and give us these. But you cannot squelch it. You cannot ignore it. You cannot disobey it. The more you do that, the more it goes away. Pretty soon you become past feeling and you can't tell. But if you nurse it, if you pay attention to it, if you foster it, if you work on it, you will get closer and closer to God. And he can give you the guidance that is necessary. Even in the King James Bible, in James, it says, you know what, if you lack wisdom, let him ask of God who will give to all men liberally and abradeth not. That means women too, by the way. It means mankind, right? Nevertheless, this is guidance that you receive. It was a great conversation. And then we compared that to my statement, shame on we the people, using the Let's Go Brandon chant. At first, it sounds good. It sounds funny. Yeah, Let's Go Brandon. But ladies and gentlemen, Americans in large numbers recognize and even approve of the recent chant criticizing Joe Biden that goes, Let's Go Brandon. But it's really a euphemism for, you know what, F Joe Biden. I'm not fond of that phrase. I think it takes us to a moral low. I reject it. I understand the desire, the fun. But look, it came out of a reporter's lie to cover up what the crowd was saying. Well, you know what? The crowd shouldn't have been saying it in the first place. If you don't like Joe, there's ways to solve the problem. But saying F the president of the United States, whether you agree or not that he's a legitimate president, is another discussion entirely. But we shouldn't be saying that. Believe it or not, Governor Ron DeSantis then dovetailed on that When you look at the Biden, when you look at the Brandon administration, he said, so now you got, you know what, let's go Brandon. And then you got the Brandon administration. What that really means is the Biden effed up administration, right? The energized crowd erupted after he said that. And then, you know, the crowd loved it, the Biden administration, the Brandon administration. And then they loved it, and then they started shouting, let's go Brandon. Well, you use the let's go Brandon phrase to refer to the Biden administration. I won't. Because I believe we have a, we're going to a low in America. And it's one thing for a war of words. It's another thing when crowds start to chant. Pretty soon, if you're not careful, you stir up a crowd to mob mentality, and you're not able to control it anymore. And I know you say, Sam, we're not to that point yet. Okay, maybe not. But the rioters in Seattle that created Chaz were. And we're not that far in America from, you know, erupting in school board meetings and everything else to where literally you could start to have a war on your hands before you even know it. What I mean is you can whip people up into a frenzy, but if you're not very careful, you lose control. All right, so the latest chant now, in addition to F Joe Biden, or quote, let's go Brandon, or the Brandon administration, is this. Latest chant, Kamala is a whore. And again, you can say she is. She slept her way to the top. There's evidence of that with Willie Brown and et cetera, et cetera. But you know what? I'm not so sure that I'm ready to say F the president and the vice president's a whore. And okay, how far are we going? What's next? Where will we go? How far, how bad can it get? I don't know the answer. But I know the history of America points to some real serious concern. It got so bad, the trashing of the Mormons, the members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, back in the 1800s, 1830s and 40s, right, 50s, it got so bad that literally it evolved into a, eventually a governor of Missouri, Governor Boggs, literally declaring an extermination order on all Mormons, males, females, women, and children, an extermination order. And when the Mormons, the members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, appealed to the federal government for help, the president, Van Buren, said, you know what, your cause is just, but I can do nothing for you. How close are we to that in America today? Sorry, you unvaxxed terrorist. Your cause is just, but I can do nothing for you. Where are we going in America? It's a very big concern indeed. The red wave countdown clock has begun. 1 year, both chambers. Let's go, they say. National Victory Action Fund. Former House Speaker Newt Gingrich is predicting that there will be more than a wave for Republicans in 2022. It'll be a tsunami red wave. That's good old Newt, the guy that cheated on his wives and melted down 25 years ago when he had a contract with. Now we mock it and call it the contract on America. Bush divides the nation on 20th anniversary of 9/11, likens terrorists to some Americans. Do you see the rhetoric that's starting to sprout? You have a right to free speech and the First Amendment, I agree, but how wise are you when you use it, huh? New Tucker Carlson documentary, Patriot Purge, shows the true story behind January 6th. Liberal media trashes the film, says nothing but conspiracy theories. I think Tucker's right, it's spot on. But new digital driver's licenses set to have your vaccine status and social credit score on them. Utah's one of the states in the lead on that. From Biden's family business via the GOP. Is Joe Biden's family corrupt? Well, of course it is. We all agree. But Hunter Biden is under investigation by federal prosecutors for money laundering relating to his sketchy foreign business ties. But you know what? Joe Biden and Hunter share a bank account and no accountability. Biden doubles down businesses must force vaccine mandate by January the 4th. OSHA releases vaccine mandate affecting 84 million private sector workers. 84 million. Ron DeSantis says, hey, Joe's mandate's going down. Time will tell, but OSHA COVID-19 vaccine rule may be extended to small businesses with less than 100 employees. Rapper Cudi Camro wants people to know that his lyrics don't really equate to a threat against Joe Biden. Here's his lyrics. F Joe Biden. It's interesting to me that the esteemed, quote, whacked out rapper and the American people in the conservative movements are using the same terms, F Joe Biden. Facebook announced that it's shutting down its Facebook recognition system. They say they're going to get rid of the scans of over a billion people's faces. I don't trust Facebook at all. Sounds good like they're getting rid of something and doing what's right, but there's probably a more sinister plan down the road. Times reports, that's the New York Times, reports that subscriptions are nearing 8.4 million. Donald Trump predicted the New York Times was going away, but they're getting bigger than ever. Digital subscriptions fueling their efforts. Americans love fake news, it looks like to me. Los Angeles County Sheriff Alex Villanueva, doing a great job. He doubled down on Tuesday on his refusal to enforce vaccine mandates. He says, look, it causes a threat if all my officers leave over the mandate, and I don't have the ability to run my police department. Wow, there you have that. So that's a recap of the news that took place yesterday on Liberty Roundtable Live. And I want to go back to this. F. Joe Biden, Kamala's a whore, the rapper F. Joe Biden, FBI looking into the rapper and then saying, oh, no harm, no foul, no big deal. And then government literally calling people terrorists. Parents are terrorists, says the FBI, because they're, you know, at school board meetings, not very happy with perverted sex being taught and critical race, dishonest racist theory going on and everything else. And parents are mad. And FBI and everybody else, Justice Department saying, hey, yeah, parents are terrorists there. Domestic threat everywhere. And white supremacists and crazy parents think they're in charge of their kids. The battle rages on. But where does this F. Joe Biden, Kamala's a whore stuff end up? If we let it and if we nurse it and if we coax it, where does it go? We'll talk about that with Sheriff Mack on your radio.
How do you know your child loves you?
When he calls and he says, Dad, why don't we go fishing? It's very simple, but it really counts.
They make a song up, and they come into our bedroom and say, we made a song, and will you listen to it?
Our next oldest daughter came to me with tears in her eyes, and she said, Daddy, I just thank you for coming home every night when we were growing up.
My son does the nicest things. When he's playing outside, he'll come in and just give me a hug and run right back outside.
My daughter goes to the same high school that I'm the registrar at, and I'll go into my office after the bell has rung, and there's a note on my desk. And it'll usually say, Mom, I love you. I'm thinking about you.
And I think of my boy that we finally got him through graduation. And he came up to me and said, I made it. Thanks.
Family, isn't it about time?
That's all he said. And that meant everything to me.
From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Can a nation conceived in liberty carry its head high if it denies protection to the youngest and most vulnerable of its citizens? Can a country founded on God-given rights continue to thrive without understanding that life is a precious gift from our Creator? I believe that great nations and great civilizations spring from a people who have a moral compass.
I don't think a civilization can long endure that does not have respect for all human life, born and not yet born.
I will be in earnest. I will not equivocate, and I will not excuse. I will not retreat an inch, and I will be heard.
One thing I promise you, I will always take a stand for life.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Sam Bushman on your radio. The good sheriff, Sheriff Mack, joins us, president of the CSPOA, the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association. Welcome back to Liberty Roundtable Live, sir.
Thanks, Sam. It's great to be with you this beautiful Saturday morning.
It is a beautiful Saturday morning. What do you think of the F. Joe Biden chants, the Brandon administration, the Kamala's a whore, the whole effort? I find it demeaning.
Well, it is, and it's just too debased for me. And I did see it on the news a couple of nights ago, and I told Don about it. And how it evolved, the evolution of it, of the term, I thought was a little bit funny, but I did not like the original chant. I don't approve of that word. I don't use it in my personal life. I don't use it in my public life. And I've had some boys that have used that word in front of me, and I've said, you've not learned that word in our home. We don't use that word in our home. Don't use it in my home. I've kind of gone the rounds with that word. When I taught school, I heard a student using it once in a different school, not Heritage Academy. I've heard it at Heritage Academy before, but this one happened when I was subbing at a different high school. And I told him, I said, you're not to use that word in this classroom. And he goes, why? Everybody does it. And he said, what big deal is it? And I said, are you a senior? He said, yes. I said, you're going to graduate this spring? Yes. Are you going to be looking for a job? He said, yes. And I said, when you get that job interview, I want you to use that word 10 times during the interview. And let's see if you get the job, okay? And he said, good point. And I said, yeah, it's not accepted widely, as you might be saying. And it also shows a lack of upbringing and a lack of class. And I think that's the same thing with all of us here. I don't approve of Joe Biden and what he is doing, what he represents. He is not mentally competent. You can tell it in so many different ways, the way he walks, the way he's bewildered numerous times, the way he forgets things. Obviously, that was the case this week when they asked him about the $450,000 payments, when Ducey, the reporter from Fox News, asked him about it. That got a lot of coverage and a lot of traction. And the trouble of it is, this man is not mentally competent. He's not physically capable or mentally capable of doing this job. I do blame his wife and his handlers. I think his wife is one of the biggest liars to America, because she knows that he is not competent and that he's not well. And yet they continue to parade him around instead of taking care of his health and getting him help. They parade him around like he knows what he's doing, and it's a shame, and it is pathetic how they're using this man. And he is just a front and a puppet, and they should be getting him help. And I'm sure to an extent they do, but the help. Comes first, and they should be trying to help him, and it would be a daily thing that he would need to be trying to do. And I'm ashamed of all of that, but I will not participate, and I do not encourage anyone to do this let's go Brandon thing. And I think how that evolved was funny. Okay, it was, and that's where it should stop. And we need to get back to being a little bit more respectful than that. And I'm not saying that Biden and his administration deserve any, but it's not an attack on him. It shows who we are when we participate in such vulgarity. And it's not a cut at him. It's a cut at us that do it. And we got to be a little bit higher class people than that.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. All I'm telling you is I don't go for it. And I don't really like, you know, they try to say this exposes the reporter who lied. What I think it does is it lets us buy into the lie, that we're now going to say a phrase that wasn't really uttered to make up for our, or to try to tame down our displeasure, but yet the same meaning is there. Everybody knows what it means. Everybody, okay. And you would say this, well, Sam, other slogans are too much more complicated. The reason it went so well is because it's just so easy. Let's go Brandon. But why don't we say something like this? Paper ballots. That's two words, not even let's go Brandon, three words. Paper ballots. That would mean something. Why don't we say it's about honesty? Why don't we chant something like that, or election integrity, or there's so many ways that we could have something meaningful that would really be valuable, Sheriff Mack, in my opinion. But what we do is we debase ourselves, and literally, in my view, virtually make fools of ourselves as we continue down this road. I mean, literally by nature, the Biden administration and all those around Biden, Democrats, et cetera, liberals, whatever term you want to use, deep staters, they almost by nature of doing nothing hold the moral high ground when we do that.
Yeah, and that's true, Sam. And I just think this whole thing needs to be less hate and more love, that we act out of love for our country and love for ourselves and love for our families. And love for America should be our motivation, not hate. And it does stir anger when we witness such destruction to American liberty, God-given liberty. And yes, I am upset and mad and angered about that, but it's still something that we must keep our wits about, and we must be focused emotionally on doing the right thing and not causing more, adding more fuel to the fire. And it is time to replace the hate. And the only way you can do that.
And it's time to do something meaningful, though. People don't really run for office. People don't put their money where their mouth is at the precinct level to demand accountability, but yet they want to run around and say F the president and Kamala's a whore. You know, it doesn't, in my opinion, have any real restorative value. And that's why I talk about, I'm not for revolution. I'm for restoration. I want to point my thoughts and my actions to things that will actually make a difference to restore the republic, using the traditions of our founders, the morality of our forebears, as our guide, Sheriff. And I think that's really where the rubber meets the road. Are you just interested in going and chanting something or whatever? Is it entertainment? Is it bread and circus, blood and circus? Or is this a meaningful restoration we're after here? And I think people need to really contemplate that point.
Yeah, they do. And we need to remember who we are and stand for what America stands for and represents. And I remember I was on a talk show with a guy once, and it was his show, and he used the word a couple of times. And during the break, I talked to him about it. And I said, do you know what? I said, I totally really like your show, but we need to stay above the fray, and we need to emulate the founding fathers. And I don't believe that any of the founding fathers would be using that language. And I said, we need to really show respect for the people listening and respect for ourselves. And he has thanked me for that since then. And he said, I needed the reminder. Well, right now, Sam, I think our country needs the reminder. We're not that kind of people, and we don't use that word, and we don't debase the office of the president in such a manner, even though he might be in there illegally, and even though a lot of his administration is a dictatorship, and even though they are destroying our country, we should not destroy ourselves and destroy anything about the motives that we have in our hearts. And we don't want to represent the other side.
Our founders said that our nation was only worthy of a moral and a religious people and was inadequate for the governing of any other. And I'm just asking my fellow Americans, if we are a moral and a religious people, do we run around calling people whores, whether it's true or not? And do we run around saying F the president of the United States? Well, you know, and hey, everything's illegitimate. And at some point, where do you go and what do you intend to gain from that? I submit to you, there's a better way to restore the republic, ladies and gentlemen. There's a better way to advocate as we follow the Prince of Peace. If, and the big question is, if in fact we do follow the Prince of Peace, do we in America? That's becoming questionable too. And that's of even greater concern. Hold the moral high ground, people.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
New unemployment numbers from the Labor Department were just released. The number of Americans seeking first-time jobless benefits dropped again last week. Initial filings for unemployment benefits, seen as a proxy for layoffs, fell to 269,000. That's down 14,000 from the prior week's level. The Occupational Safety and Hazard Administration, or OSHA, is giving employers with more than 100 employees a January 4th deadline to comply with President Biden's COVID-19 vaccine mandate and threatening thousands of dollars in fines for defiant businesses. Considering an airborne virus outside of a hospital environment a work hazard is a first for the agency. Separate from OSHA, the Center for Medicaid and Medicare Services are issuing a rule to require health workers in facilities that participate in Medicare and Medicaid be fully vaccinated. The CMS rule also goes into effect January 4th. This is USA Radio News.
With confusion around vaccinations, masks, and public screenings, it's important to know the symptoms of COVID and its variants. Fever is the leading sign, so make sure to use an accurate thermometer for your family. Only the Exergen Temporal Scanner Thermometer has been proven accurate with more than 100 clinical studies. Non-contact thermometers have no clinical evidence behind them and cannot be relied on. Be vigilant and be accurate with Exergen. Learn more at Exergen.com.
Exergen is changing the way the world takes temperature.
From city streets to back roads. From road warrior to carpooler. There are some things you can always count on. Like the reliability, durability, and power of DieHard, America's most trusted auto battery. No matter where your journey takes you, count on DieHard to get you started on the road ahead. Available at your local Advance Auto Parts and participating CarQuest stores.
Although a recount has been requested, it looks as if the governor's mansion in New Jersey will not have a new occupant.
Thank you, New Jersey!
No, that's not Bruce Springsteen, but it is the newly reelected New Jersey governor, Democrat Phil Murphy, celebrating last night after Tuesday's election results finally came into focus. It appears he has won with a lead of under 20,000 votes over the Republican challenger, Jack Cittarelli, a New Jersey assembly member. Governor Murphy celebrating
the first Democratic governor reelected in the great state of New Jersey since my dear friend, the late Governor Brendan Byrne, did this in 1977.
In the New England Bureau of USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
The company Smartmatic filed separate defamation lawsuits against Newsmax and One America News Network Wednesday, accusing the networks of knowingly peddling disinformation about its voting technology during the 2020 presidential election. They say a disinformation campaign harms Smartmatic's business model. USA Radio News.
All right, the good Sheriff Richard Mack with me, CSPOA.org. I am Sam Bushman. We have sad news to report. John Stadtmiller has passed away November 5th, that's yesterday, unexpectedly, after battling a respiratory illness. R.I.P., rest in peace, Brother John, is my response. John Stadtmiller is a well-known talk show host. He used to do the Infotel Report. He ran Republic Broadcasting, the radio network. He had a lot of talk shows and everything else. If you go to their website now, republicbroadcasting.org, it says, hey, hold off on donations. I'm sure that they're making some adjustments. I don't know what's happening to the network. I don't really have any inside intel. If anybody wants to call in and has more information on this, 208-216-6100, would love to take your calls on that. All I'm telling you is that he's passed away. It's a sad tale, and it's verified because it's on the Republic website. It's also verified because I saw an obituary in Ohio from a funeral home regarding it. Our prayers are with Sandy, his wife, and family, and their loved ones, and it's a sad day. Sheriff, you want to add to that?
Yeah, I knew that you knew him pretty well, and both of us have had a pretty long association with him, and I hadn't been on the show for a couple of years now, and I was really shocked when I got that email, and didn't have any details, but I was really shocked by it, and John has been a fighter for liberty and freedom for a long time, and he will be sorely missed.
We don't know all the details. Some say it was unexpected, but some say he was battling a respiratory illness. I don't know if that means that COVID became part of it. I just don't know, and I don't want to speculate because I don't know. I know that he's gone. I know that it's sad that he's gone. I know that I don't know what's going to happen to his network at all. And I know that our prayers are with the family. That's really all I have to say. You know, John and I had our differences, but I agree with you. He was a freedom fighter in his own way. And he brought a lot of news and a lot of knowledge to a lot of people, Sheriff.
Yeah, he did. And he was pretty unique in his approach. And he was well-respected. And I think it was a great moment in his life when he took the stage. And, you know, he was a great public speaker. And I remember way back when I was doing the Brady Bill, he used a lot of metaphors and whatnot, describing me and the Mackites and stuff like that. He showed a lot of personality in what he did. And I'm grateful that I got to know him, and I'm really sad at his passing.
He was 74 years old, from what we understand. So in my opinion, fairly young. I would love to see him live into his 80s and his 90s. But you know what? The Lord has need of him on the other side. So there you have that, ladies and gentlemen. If anybody else has more information, would love to hear it. 208-216-6100. And Senator Rand Paul now calling for Anthony Fauci to resign. He says he's lied to Congress too many times. He needs to resign, and resign now. And Rand Paul, Senator of Kentucky, also filing a criminal complaint. Who knows where that will go against Fauci. But really, no offense, but the only real senator that I see standing up against Anthony Fauci, the only real Republican or real conservative in any way in, I don't know what you call it, high-end public circles or influential public, is Rand Paul. Nobody else seems to be speaking out hardly at all, despite all the criminal activity of Anthony Fauci. It is shocking, the negative or lack of response from most. But I commend Rand Paul, Sheriff.
Yeah, I do too. I've criticized Senator Paul a couple of times in his handling with of Sam Gerard's situation. But I have still said that if he were to run for office, he would be the one I would vote for. I would still like to call his attention to what he did or didn't do to help this innocent man. And we still need to address innocence in prison. And I'm sure that if he would sit down and look at it, he would. However, I do really support what he's doing against Fauci. And you have to ask yourself, where are the rest of the Republican wimps? And it's astonishing how, no, it isn't. It's Washington, D.C. as usual, that they do not stand for anything of significance, because all they care about is their next donation and their next reelection. And it's really sad that Washington, D.C. politics has been reduced to that, but that's exactly what it is. And Rand Paul is exposing that as much as he is anything else about the dishonesty of Fauci. And I have said that Fauci's a liar. You have said that he's a liar. And Rand Paul is standing alone, as his father did numerous times in Washington, D.C., as the only one who will tell it like it is. I'm sure that there's a couple of other House of Representatives that would say the same thing about Fauci.
I think there's a lot that would say it, but they're not making it their focal point. And
political
capital, I think, right?
Yes, yes.
Where are you going to expend your political capital? Sadly, the spending of your political capital is manipulated by the other side of the discussion oftentimes. How much do you give on this altar, for example? And I think that's kind of a question a lot of people ask. You know, who will you endorse for candidates? Well, it all comes down to how much political capital, how much of a hit can you take on that candidate, and are they worth it? And whether it's a political capital on a person or political capital on an idea or an issue, That's part of the reason I think Donald Trump jettisoned the get to the bottom of the birth certificate discussion when he became president. It was a political capital discussion. How much time and money can he spend on that discussion? A lot of times that's what it comes down to, sadly. And I'm frustrated when people don't stand with us on certain issues. But to some degree, I get it, too. In the real world, it's a very difficult give and take, Sheriff.
Yes, and I think, I don't know if you wanted to go here yet, but I think this segues right into the 13 rhinos, the 13 Republicans who supported Biden's, and mostly supported Pelosi's.
Yeah, so that's exactly where we're going. The quick summary, and then we'll get into the 13 that you mentioned. Pelosi finally did get her vote on the, quote, trillion-dollar bipartisan, they claim, infrastructure bill. At 11 p.m. last night, ladies and gentlemen, the bill passed by a vote of 228 to 206 with the support of 13, quote, moderate Republicans. And without them, Pelosi's efforts would have literally failed, ladies and gentlemen. They say the bill is now off to President Biden's desk, where he will sign it into law and add $256 billion to the
Senate hasn't passed it yet, though, have they?
I think they have.
No, I don't think so.
All right.
I think the House did it first, and now it goes over to the Senate. But they think what I saw on the internet is that they believe it'll pass there too, because Manchin is now acquiescing, and I don't know about Sinema out in Arizona, she has totally shocked me that she's been this strong against it. I don't know what she's doing. I think it's a ploy. I don't trust her. She's not a good person. She never has been, and I don't know what she's doing. I'm shocked that she has showed this much fortitude, and that her own party is really harassing her, downright scaring her.
Yeah, they passed it on Tuesday.
Her.
The Senate passed it on Tuesday, Sheriff.
They did pass it on Tuesday. Because the only thing I saw is that during in August. The Senate passed it. I guess a preliminary thing that they were going to, but because I thought Manchin was still holding out. I don't see how that would have passed, but okay, I stand corrected.
I don't know.
I guess it's going to be the law.
Now I'm struggling. No, because they did pass it, but you're right. It was a little bit ago. And how long does that last versus how long do they need to repass it, or how many differences? Are they just we're going to reconcile the differences? Are they already past that? I don't know.
Yeah, because these articles aren't showing what's the status of the bill. It's just showing
I see what you're saying now. I'm telling you that it says the Senate passed it, but now you're right. I look at it and it's like, well, wait a minute, that was a little bit ago. Does that still stand?
Yeah, I don't think so. I don't think it really has passed there yet, because they've been going after Sinema and Manchin for holding out. And the last comment I saw this morning from Manchin is that he wasn't going to let the bill be held hostage anymore. So, but I don't think they've voted yet.
Well, I hope you're right, but I see news stories saying it's going to Biden's desk.
Okay. Well, it must be going there then.
Ladies and gentlemen, we don't know what the heck's going on. We'll dig into it, keep you posted on your radio as we're live. We have a whole lot of news the network reviews to use to talk about. By the way, there's a clock battle going on. We'll tell you about it in seconds. Liberty Roundtable, live with Sheriff Richard Mack.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new Constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is, again, the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
All right, it turns out the 6 Democrats voted against the spending bill and 13 Republicans voted in favor. So you got a few, you know, they say House passes stripped down infrastructure bill, sending it to Joe. Everything I see says it's passed to Joe. I want someone to tell me that, hey, the Senate passed it back in August, which is what it looks like. The problem is I'm not able to see confirmation that the Senate's passing it.
It still doesn't make sense, because if it already passed, why the last 3 months haranguing Sinema and Manchin? If it already passed, that wouldn't have been necessary.
Every article, though, I'm telling you, I've looked at 20 articles now, and everyone says the House passed it, they're sending it to Joe. But you only send it to Joe if the Senate's passed it, right?
Yeah, I know. Yeah, so...
Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, I know we seem like we're idiots on the air, but you know what? This is live radio, and sometimes you just can't track down live facts because they passed this late last night at like 11 p.m. So we're struggling this morning to get information. In the meantime, though, they're calling it the clock clash, Sheriff. 19 states are seeking to make daylight savings time year-round. USA Today, it's called the clock clash. They say a federal law would be required. And I really want to focus on this for a second, because remember tonight, ladies and gentlemen, or when you wake up tomorrow, you need to set your clocks back 1 hour. If you're in most states. Now, here's what's interesting about the clock clash. They say that it takes federal law to deal with this. And I find this fascinating, Sheriff. If we want to be concerned about all the government has in our lives, in terms of manipulating our lives, involved in our lives. You know, the founding fathers envisioned a federal government or a general government not really involved in their lives at all. But we've got to the point where even the time of day is controlled by your federal government. In the last 4 years, believe it or not, 19 states have enacted legislation or passed resolutions to provide for year-round daylight savings time if Congress will allow such a change. The 19 states, just so you know, are Alabama, Georgia, Minnesota, Mississippi, Montana, Idaho, Louisiana, Ohio, South Carolina, Utah, Wyoming, Arkansas, Delaware, Maine, Oregon, Tennessee, Washington, Florida, and California. Okay? But they say there's nothing they can really do, okay, because the federal government decides this. The only thing that the states can do is reject it and stay on, quote, standard time. The only power individual states and or territories have under the guideline is they can go on standard time permanently, but most people are advocating for daylight time. Now, they say Arizona, Hawaii, Guam, American Samoa, Puerto Rico, and the Virgin Islands all stay on standard time now. But despite what the states want to do, they say to ditch the 2 times a year changing the clocks would require an act of Congress. Now, a bipartisan group are putting the Sunshine Act together to try to solve this problem, but it's a clock clash of epic proportions. And the reason I bring it up, Sheriff, is to remind everybody, one, to set their clocks back 1 hour. But more importantly, to say, you know what? If we can't get, and we've been working on this for literally decades now, if we can't get the federal government out of our time, I don't know what else you're going to solve, Sheriff.
Well, that was
You can't even ask the time of day without the federal government mandate in place. States don't have any autonomy. What other control do we have? I know it sounds like a simple, stupid point, but I think it's critical to understand. You can move big mountains if you can't solve this one. Right. Who the heck likes daylight save, or who likes the manipulation of our time twice a year? Is there anybody that really advocates for it?
Well, it was a suggestion at one point in our history that Ben Franklin said that it should be considered. And I don't care if he said it or if he didn't say it. The point is, what you said was exactly what I thought of as soon as I heard that. You mean they get to control the time of day in Washington, D.C., and the poor little podunk states that are all these slaves and servants to the federal government can't even say what time they keep their states? And so I'm proud of Arizona. We don't care if the cows know what time it is. And most of them have said that it was something to do with cattle breeding and the dairies and so on and so forth. Well, the sun shines less during the winter and more during the summer. That's just a physiological fact. And so how you make use of the time of the daylight lasts is up to you and your family and how you run your farm. You can get up earlier, you can stay up later, but the sun is only going to shine so much, and that's up to you to take advantage of that however you choose. And it's not up to the tyrants or the dictators or the kings in Washington, D.C. And yeah, I've had it with that part, that Washington thinks they control everything. And the brainwashing of all this, Sam, is that they purport that Washington, D.C. is in charge of our lives, in charge of our own health, in charge of our churches and our businesses, and they flat out have no authority to be involved in any of that. And that's the problem with the vax. It's the problem with COVID-19. It's the problem with politics in America. And it's the problem and the subterfuge of and corruption of Washington, D.C., that they think they have this kind of power over us.
Well, you got the divide on every single issue in America, including the clock clash, is the point, ladies and gentlemen. Set your clocks back and beg the federal government to allow you to set the time on your own watch yourself. I find it very fascinating that the states have literally zero autonomy in this. I think the states ought to push back and say, have you lost your cotton picking mind on this? It's just insane. 19 plus states.
I don't care if federal government passes it. I don't think Arizona is going to change.
Well, so the idea would be if the federal government were to say, hey, states can do what they want to. That's what I think should happen. And you would say, well, Sam, that'll just create confusion. I don't think so. I think bright minds can come along. And if there's confusion, there's already confusion. You have what? How many time zones across America now? 4? If you count Hawaii, more?
Yeah, I think there's 3, and then with Hawaii, 4.
Well, so you've got Pacific,
Central,
you've got
and Eastern.
Mountain, you've got Central, and you've got Eastern. So that's 4 plus Hawaii. What?
Well,
time
it
zone
is
are they
4.
In?
Yeah, but Mountain, because there's only 3 hours between Arizona and New York right now.
And yeah, no,
it's because
of the time change.
Yeah, so but when we go back, it's only 2 hours.
Pacific time, right?
Yeah.
There's Mountain time. You're on Pacific right now, right?
Yeah.
So it's 7:54 a.m. for me. It's 6:54 a.m. for you. In
yeah, I guess
time,
that's right.
It's 8:54.
I never thought
Eastern
of it that
is
way.
9:54. So there's already 4 yeah. plus Hawaii. That's 5. And then when you consider everybody going back and forth, you can't tell me they've made it simpler. I think it's better just to let every state decide for themselves. And personally, what I would support is I would support daylight savings time to be permanent. In other words, go forward 1 hour, leave it permanent, and I would just stay there year-round. And personally, I would simplify the time zones in America to probably two. Yeah. And it would be very, you know, very easy to accomplish. But anyway, it's a big old battle. And what I find amazing about it, ladies and gentlemen, is if the states want to do anything, a change to federal law would be required. And so you've got Congress that can pass this spending us into oblivion bill, and but you can't get them to solve the clock issue or get the heck out of the clock issue or whatever term you want to use for it. It's just amazing to me. All right, I did find in several articles now, though, they say the long contentious battle over the spending bill has occurred. The Senate passed it months ago. They've been waiting on the House. Now it goes to Biden's desk. It is already signed by the president. I mean, I'm sorry. It is already passed by the Senate, Sheriff.
Okay, good. Well, I mean, it's not good, but...
Good, we understand what the scoop is, yeah.
I don't get all the vitriol aimed at Sinema and Manchin, then. If it passed, get out of the way.
Well, I'll tell you why I think the aim at those people are because they took it in chunks. It's a narrowed bill. They got it passed. They're calling it a victory, but they have part two coming up.
Yeah, true.
And so I think that's what the browbeating of these people are. The bottom line is there, as Rand Paul wisely puts it in the commercial that I run, I took his words on the Senate floor and turned it into a commercial. But look, you can't get the Republicans or the Democrats to even save a penny. He had a penny plan where he wanted to save one penny per dollar. Can we just reduce spending one penny per dollar? And he put a bill up, and everybody soundly, Republicans, Democrats, everybody rejected it. And he basically says, look, the whole body is fiscally irresponsible with your money. And that's really what I see, Sheriff. I see nothing but games playing. The six Democrats that held out, they just want to basically partner with the Republicans. And, you know, they get a lot of coverage, and it helps them raise money for their campaigns and whatever. But nobody's really interested in saving any money at the federal level. Period. End of paragraph. Except for maybe a Rand Paul and a couple of others.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really sad that... Well, it goes back to the whole thing that we're talking about, and that is that Washington thinks it can do anything it wants. And that includes frivolous spending of taxpayer dollars. And there's going to be wasteful spending on this, and there's going to be paybacks to big donors, to the Democrats. And I can't believe this guy. I can't believe the absolute shame that Jeff Flake is. Says that he is a Second Amendment supporter, says that he's against abortion, says that he's against frivolous spending, yet he supported Joe Biden. And Joe Biden just picked him to be an ambassador. And probably because he needs the job because he got fired by Arizona in the last election or before that. And then he went after, of course, he went after Donald Trump because they were fighting, because he was fighting with John McCain, and Jeff Flake sided with McCain because he always did what McCain told him. And Jeff Flake purports to be a strong Christian, and he is a farce. He is a fraud. He's a fake. And for him to go away from his core values, to go back to once again to strike back revenge toward Donald Trump, and for him to do that with his family is absolutely mind-boggling, and it's an absolute pathetic shame. But it's
former Republican. Senator Jeff Flake being tapped by the Biden administration to be ambassador to Turkey, huh?
Yep.
And that's
that's a good name for him.
Wow. That's very interesting, ladies and gentlemen. Again, it just shows the revolving door. The guy gets voted out by the people, shut down. But of course, don't worry, Joe. Baby Joe will bring him right on back. He serves another day. See, you just can't get these people out of office even with a block and tackle these days. Hour one of the can, two coming up. The good sheriff stays with us. God save the Republic.